Accession number 29893, Reel 1.
And it's Danka Binks, isn't it? And this is Danka Binks, Reel 1. And if I could ask you, first of all, Danka...
I better just tell you, they've got my name wrong, my Christian name, in this leaflet.
I noticed, yes, right. I did notice. They've spelt it with an E, haven't they? But, yes.
There's an attitude.
But if I could ask you, first of all, Danka, as I explained earlier, we'd really like to know a lot about your early life before the war started. Could you tell me about your little town and what life was like for you then, growing up?
Well, I think I think I was an accident. So, you know, my mother didn't realize. She probably didn't realize that she couldn't have babies at that stage, and so I already had two brothers. My mother did have a miscarriage before, long before her first born. That's not important, I know. And
were you a Jewish family?
Well, we're a Jewish family, yes, but I think I was protected by my parents. Being the youngest, and I was, whilst I was born, I was very much loved, despite my oldest brother, I think, being rather negative about it. But I received a lot of love, and I think this has been a blessing for me, because, you know, I have not experienced. And my parents were very enlightened people. My mother must have been involved in a pogrom in Russia, but I know very little about it because I wasn't interested to ask Casey. But I knew that, you know, vaguely that would happen. I think she had a very good voice. I think she sang quite a bit. And
what did your father do?
Well, my father had a business. He started off with a, I believe, a sort of sugar refinery. And I vaguely remember this store, but that's about all. But this didn't work. Eventually, after some years, I believe this. I don't know exactly what happened, but this was this finished, and he went into with my mother's brother into a mill, flour mill, and it was quite a big flour mill. And as far as I know, they were quite prosperous. We had an accountant who worked in our house, and I know this because when the war broke out, I was in the room where he used to work. There was a large desk, and this I still remember because I think, as I said in my story, I was propped up against a sack of rice, and this time there is a bit vague because I can't understand that I was alone. That I was left alone at a time like that. And I just have a memory that I looked through the window when the Germans came in, and I saw them coming in on motorbikes. Now, whether this is just my imagination or whether I actually saw them, I don't know. I was very much protected. And my father, who was... I think he was an important man in the community because people used to come and ask for his advice. And when the war broke out, he actually trained to become a member of the civil defense. And he actually led them, you know, he was the leader of the team. I remember this distinctly because I was told that, you know, they had a practice. And that was the beginning of the war. but that was considered a practice. And he had everybody gathered around him, and I remember that we were instructed to go to a cellar, but we didn't go. My mother didn't go, and because we knew probably that it was just it. And remember, they wore helmets, you know, the people. And the thing was that the following day, we learned that the station was bombed. And what we thought, or the Polish people thought, it was going to be just a practice. The Germans took advantage of it, and they bombed. I can remember they bombed the station, and it was no longer sort of trend, it was real.
Could you tell me something about your town? For instance, what was the proportion of Jewish people to non-Jewish people? And I wondered how the different groups, you know, got on.
Well, I'm very vague on that. I do actually have a book on Czechanów in Polish. If I'd known, I would have read it up for you, because I did know, but this was not my prime interest.
But did you, you know, were you conscious of living in a Jewish area with other Jewish people, or were you more assimilated into the
I don't think I was very conscious of the... I certainly didn't know until recently that I went to a Jewish school, you see. So I don't think I was particularly conscious. I knew the difference between Jewish people and Poles, I think, except I was trying to tell someone who I cannot remember, our doctor, for example. He was called Dr. Wabinch. And I used to play with one of his children, and I cannot remember whether he was Jewish or Polish. The only people I could remember was our concierge, who I knew was Polish. Otherwise, it's very difficult.
Did you go to synagogue at all?
I only went once. So I remember being there once, being thoroughly bored and sitting, and not, you know, I came out totally ignorant anyway. But I have seen people in the, I can't remember what it's called now. So I have seen them praying, but I only went once. In fact, I think my mother hasn't been very often, did not go to synagogue, but she must have been once or twice, perhaps on you know, holy holidays, or the high holidays, what they call it, which I never can establish which are which. And I think I can only tell you one incident. There is this holiday, I don't know what it's called in English.
Yom Kippur.
Tabernacle? Is when people eat outside. Do you know what it is? No, I thought, I wasn't sure whether you were Jewish or not. You're obviously not. It's the time when they build things outside, and you're supposed to eat outside. And we had one built in the garden, we had one. But I remember my father didn't eat there. And I remember someone coming to the house, and he quickly ran out. So he didn't want to appear not using it. And this is the only, I mean, when you ask me how religious was he, this is the extent of what I know.
Did you ever experience, I know you were very young, you were 10, weren't
yes.
you? 9 or 10, because yeah, I'm not quite yes. sure when war broke out. But did you ever experience any anti-Semitism at all? Did you know there was any feeling against Jewish people in your area?
Not then. You see, the difference is, you know, I absorbed much later. But no, I didn't. I knew there was a difference, but I couldn't, you know, it was very vague.
It would seem from what you say your family was really assimilated.
Well, it was a very small town, you see. And I know that when people talk about religious people, I've seen some very religious Jewish people in Cehennuf, and I didn't like it. You see, and I was a young child, and so this was the Hasidic Jews, and I didn't like to see them like this. And later, you see, when I learned about the various traditions, I didn't like certain things, like the woman had to go and have a bath before they got married. It irritated me. So in actual fact, I think I internalized some sort of dislike for this kind of a behavior, and for consequently, I mean, later when I think about things, I was never ashamed of being Jewish, but I think later, maybe even after the war, when I tried to find out why we had anti-Semitism. This was always in my mind. And it wasn't until I became a nurse, and it was only after I worked as a nurse for a while and that I managed to go to university part-time. I couldn't get in. And because I didn't have qualifications. And I worked very hard, and then I only had 1 B or 2 Bs, and I needed more, so I couldn't get in, especially in Aberdeen. Now, we went to the States, and women could go to university just like that. So I think it was only when I went to university that I really tried to find out seriously. But by that time, I already had some stigma. You could have lived without getting the stigma or, you know, from your race or whatever. And I could not, I couldn't think rationally, I suppose. But the thing is that, so I got it, you know, I had it in my head, is it true what they say about Jewish? I had the stereotypes. And it lived with me for a long time. For example, you know, the idea that Jews are mean. When I married, once my husband, I didn't want to buy an expensive car, we were just renting. He always wanted to buy the best. I said, well, we are renting. And I said, we could buy a cheaper carpet. And he told me I was mean. So when he said this, I decided to be absolutely, you know, spend my money and be called generous. That was very important to me. I did not want to be labeled mean. That's why I was very pleased to meet my Scottish friends because they had the same label. But I did have a stigma and certainly an inferiority complex because of that.
Well, when I think of, you know, what you're going to tell me, and I know a bit about your experience already, it's not surprising the way you were treated because you were Jewish. So, yes, you know, I will now ask you if, you know, you explained very vividly your first impressions of the Germans coming in and what happened to your family. I suppose I ought to ask you, first of all, about your brother, who had gone to France, because yes, he comes into the story later, doesn't he?
He was much older, you see. As I say, I was an accident, so I was born. And
what was his name?
Well, in Polish it was Abed, but he married an English girl, and he was renamed Alan.
Alan.
So I sort of knew him as Alan, because that's most of my, well, I think what I remember is after the war, you see. Now, yes, when he was ready to go to university, he refused to go to university in Poland. Now, whether he knew, whether at that time it was still so, but in the Warsaw University, he said Jews had to stand. And he said, and that was one of the things. Secondly, I actually wrote it by story which didn't get into it, is when he was at school at a meeting, and this I remember distinctly, my mother went to a meeting and she was told that her son is a hooligan. And of course, she was very upset about this. And it was unfair, because he never was. He's the most gentle and delicate person. And I think this must have had incredible effect on him. And so when it time came for him to go to university, I remember him sitting with his elbows on the table, weeping, and he said he wasn't going to a Polish university. And how he managed to get the contacts to go, he was accepted to go to Sorbonne, and that's where he wanted to go. And my parents eventually had to agree. Now, I think my parents sent him something like 100 zloty a month or something like that. But that was the first year or two. But then he learned to play the violin at home. And so he managed to get a job there as a part-time violinist or violinist. So he earned his money that way, and he was able to supplement it a bit.
So he was out of the country when the Germans invaded.
Oh, yes.
Now, yes. And then I think he eventually got to Britain, didn't he?
Yes.
Through Spain.
Yes, through the British Red Cross.
Yes. So we'll leave your brother there, because it's your story I'm really interested in.
Yes,
but it's good for people to know that.
Oh,
he
yes.
Actually,
well, because it's thanks to him that I came to England. You see, I came to be united with him, and because I didn't know I had a family in England.
Yes, I'll ask you about that later.
Yes.
I think,
okay.
Anka, thank
yes.
you. So could you now tell me what happened to you and your family once the Germans
yes.
came into your town? And I think this was very early in the war, wasn't it? The 3rd or 4th of September.
Yes, yes. Well, I can just remember that presumably in our hometown people had to give away things, the possessions. Because what I can remember, and I have never told anyone this, is that people had to hide the jewelry. And I remember that because my mother had very nice diamonds, and so they were looking for places where to hide them. And the first, I knew that lots of things were happening to people, but didn't know exactly what. And until, I suppose, when they first came to our house, and the first thing to be removed was our grandfather's clock, which we had very lovely furniture. We had a lovely, which we called credence in Polish, but it's a, like a sofa with china. I'm not quite sure what you would call it in English. And I know it was a very valuable thing. And I know we had some very valuable china because it was Japanese. And, but this was totally, you know, not so important.
Was it taken by Germans or Poles?
Well, as far as the china goes, I don't know. What happened was that, first of all, they took the furniture. I mean, the most upsetting thing for me was to see when they removed my parents' bed. We had beautiful bedroom furniture, and this was one of the first things to go. But apart from this, they went through the drawers. And you see, I think this must have happened before when I said they were looking for jewelry. And they opened my drawer and they saw a watch. I think it might have been gone. And my mother said, "This is the child's watch." And I remember distinctly, they did not, they ignored it and just slipped it into their pocket. And so that was the beginning. And then, as I say, they took the beds. And after this, you see, I don't remember where my parents slept. I think they're protecting me. And I've often tried to think about this. Of course, it was a worse experience when we were in the Warsaw Ghetto. But that was the first experience. And I remember my father, he must have been upset. And I remember I was frightened. And he carried me. So maybe I was 9, but he still carried me. And I remember gripping him because this was the most terrible experience for them both and for me. After this, they decided we must leave. I suppose we had no beds, etc. We had to do something. And we had 2 horses and a carriage. And I don't quite know what our furniture was, many things that were left that were put into, not all, just some, were put into the carriage, or whether there was a bigger wagon, I don't remember that. And I do remember it was packed one stage, and my mother refused to go. And I remember this, she stood on the balcony, and she said, because she was agreed to go, and then she changed her mind. But soon afterwards, she had to agree. So there were lots of things in the carriage. But most of the other things went to the men who worked for us. And you see, one thing that I would have loved to have is some photographs. I haven't got a single photo of myself as a child. And the only photographs are the ones I managed to preserve that were taken in Warsaw Ghetto when they were, you know, doing the identity photos. And my brother, the younger brother I haven't told you about, his name was Sam, or Samek, if you like. That's what we called him, as Samek. And he came to Kielce, and I'm getting out of the chronology. Is this all right? He came after my uncle took me to Kielce. He came and brought me those photographs. Now, those photographs are preserved in a miraculous way, because, you know, once you came through Auschwitz. I'm actually confusing you.
No, not at all, because you've made the point that you had photographs from the Warsaw Ghetto which were brought to you from your brother.
I should show them to you. I've got them, you see.
Yes, well, later on, perhaps that would be a good idea. So when you left, where did you go when you left on the horses and when you left your house?
Well, we were going to Warsaw. Now, my father had already explored the route, or one of them anyway, one. And he went and he came back when the Germans had taken he was very well closed, and the Germans had taken his boots off and gave him theirs. I may have mentioned this in the story because this was a, and so he came back in those old German boots. And so he had already explored the area, and we went to Warsaw. Now, whether it was the man who took our things, who took us there, I don't know. I might have fallen asleep. I didn't know what happened. So we arrived in Warsaw. That was before the ghetto. And my father had a brother who had a house in in Warsaw, and we went to stay there with him, with his brother, and he had a family of three, I think, he had three grown-up children or half-grown-up. Something I've not actually told many people was that my uncle had a daughter just about a year older than I. So when we got there, she was, I was from a small town, and I was very innocent and ignorant. And she took me into her hands, and we got into the toilet. She pinched her father's cigarettes and showed smoke that was sort of, and then later she told me a little bit about sex. Something I had no idea. And it was very traumatic to me. It was traumatic because I had no idea how babies were born. Whenever I asked, I was told the stork brings him. But she was that seemed very crude in many ways. You know, you introduce the children gently, but that's what not happened to me. And consequently, it's again something, as I say, I've not spoken about because I was feeling sorry for my parents. I asked my mother how babies are born. That was at the most difficult time. And I remember she spanked my bottom. That's because I wasn't spanked. And I couldn't understand it. And I remember being very, very upset. Do you know, I remember sitting under the table. So that was my introduction. But I knew very little, even then.
What was life like in Warsaw at that time? This would have been before the ghetto. And presumably your uncle wasn't in the ghetto area, the area that later became
well,
the ghetto.
Well, I think it's just on the borderline, I think. My husband explored this more, you see, and his house was in Ulica Chłodna. Now, of course, your husband's not a historian, you see, because I wondered whether, because of what you're doing, whether he is likely to be a historian.
Yes, but I'm not supposed to tell you that I know anything because I want you to tell me.
Yes, I know. Well, we try to look at Martin Gilbert's book, you know, his atlas.
Yes. That's as much as you can tell me about that. So, could you tell me about your life before the ghetto was founded? Mm. Was the German presence very much felt by your uncle's family where you were staying?
I think they must have, but I was not aware of many things.
When did you become aware of things? Can I ask you that? You know, when did this situation really start to affect you?
Well, I think once the ghetto was formed in Warsaw, we were given a room somewhere else. We had to move somewhere else. And it was just one room. And I had my brother who, I don't remember how old he was then, 15, 16. And we had one big bed. And I don't know to this day where he slept. They must have put me to bed and I must have fallen asleep. I didn't know. But I knew this is when things became very hard.
End of Reel 1, Danka Binks.